You are now listening to the Geek Bro Network. Check out geekbro.net. That's how geeking is done.
Hi, this is Pedro, the big old fucking nerd.
Hello there, this is Kenny. I am the under to your score.
Hey, this is Q, your one-stop shop for all things Harry Potter, and you are now listening to The Talking Geek. We're recording.
Talking about meat in my mouth.
Oh my god.
No homo.
Getting all juicy dripping down my chin.
Oh.
That was intentional.
Yeah.
I blew myself.
Yay! Nice. All right. And welcome back to the Talking Geek. It is this time for real. I know we say this every episode, but like for real, it's been a long time.
Since we've actually sat down,
what, like 4 months?
At least, yeah.
I think the last time we recorded was February. It's June.
Yeah, Has it been February?
It was the beginning. Yeah, the beginning of 2019.
Yeah.
Wow. That was when I was hopeful about Game of Thrones.
That is when we were all hopeful.
A lot of people had a lot of hope.
And
plans.
We've recorded Brunches and Dragons. That's why it doesn't feel...
Oh, that's right. We've had at least one other thing to fill in the blank.
So we've had that. But this...
And Critter Die, yeah.
And Critter Die, yeah. It's bouncing between them.
This has not happened in quite some time. So hello, everybody. Of course, with us tonight, I have...
One Pedro Bear Cortez.
Yes.
That's so smooth. That's right.
This is the underscore himself with the mister in between each underscore.
I got two misters in between my underscore.
Hey! Yeah, this is Kenny. Hello, everybody.
And, of course, I'm Q. There's nobody else but me.
Yeah, there's just one letter.
There's only one.
There's only one Q.
There's
only one Q.
One mic. One pillow.
One Q, one mic.
One Q, one face. That's it. What has everybody been up to in the 4 months that we have not recorded?
Oh Christ, well, I've been busy.
You've been busy.
I'm moving.
We're already going to talk about that now.
I mean, it has literally been the one thing that's been at the forefront of my mind.
No, yeah, definitely.
For the last couple of months. Yeah, moving to New York. Been wanting to make this move for a long, long, long time, but just didn't work out, and finally things worked out. So I'm going with my. My girlfriend got an apartment in Manhattan. It's really nice. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to really trying to grow, like doing a lot of career growth. And it's time to, you know, stop fucking around. I want to, you know, make something of what I'm doing. So going up and so yeah, that's been the major concern. Packing, trying to sell furniture, which nobody told me would be really hard. Wish there could have been a warning for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a pain in the asshole.
Yeah.
Used furniture is really hard to get rid of.
Yeah, I kept it in good condition, too, and people are fucking assholes. But really, the only kind of geek, like, the only game I've really, really been... Well, those two games I've really been diving face first into. One is replaying Fallout 3.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Fallout 4. God, I wish I really actually could go for a remake of Fallout
3. Fallout 3?
Yeah, but I got the Ultimate Edition of Fallout 4, so it has all the DLC. And at this point, when I first played Fallout 4, right after it came out, there was no DLC, there was nothing extra added to it. But by now, they've added in mod support. And the mod support on the PS4 is pretty limited compared to what you can do on Xbox and PC. But you can still do crazy shit like, well, the most obvious thing was turn off encumbrance. Because encumbrance is my least favorite thing in any Bethesda game. Because, you know, especially in a game that is so heavily, like, reliant on you building shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they give you like a 175-pound limit, and you fill that up, I mean, just holding your armor, holding your weapons,
it's pretty
and,
done.
And things to heal you, you're already like a quarter of the way there.
Yeah.
So I turned that off. I unlocked the size of settlements, so all your settlements you can build up. Now, technically, I can build them as much as I want. However, I found there was a hard limit because at some point, weird shit started happening to my settlements where, like, I would try to, like, make somebody do a job, and then everybody would quit on me.
Oh, interesting.
So then I had to go and set everybody back up. So what I ended up just doing is every time that happened, I would just unbuild the last thing I built, and it fixed it every time. It fixed it every time.
That's very interesting.
It's probably some sort of memory limit. Each place is probably, like, the larger the place, the more memory it probably allows it to go. So some of the smaller places... definitely are not very happy when you decide to build a 3-story apartment complex with a fucking gym at the top of it.
Nice.
But, it looks pretty... you just see my places. And it's weird because I'm not normally attracted to like The Sims, but there was that combination of like weird, fucked up, post-apocalyptic world, and to build shit, I'm like, yeah, yeah, I get real fucking mellow. I
you don't have
just
to call it Sims; you can call it more like Animal Crossing. It's fine.
Yeah, it's. It is more like Sims than Animal Crossing because you do have like multiple like people that you're controlling and telling what to do stuff. But no, that's been like the game I use to really like mellow the fuck out. Like that is my relaxing because there's the loop of that I've developed of like going, literally taking everything I can get my hands on since I have no encumbrance, and then going back and then building up my settlements. Like that's been like really good to like calm my anxiety.
Got it.
It's really and even the shooting. Can get intense, but it's not like Call of Duty intense.
Yeah, that's and you see, that's relaxing for me.
Yeah,
oddly enough,
you're just to fucking go like super over the limit.
I just want to just rampage on everyone so that I feel like I've released it somewhere.
Yeah,
and I treated other people like shit, which is what I felt like all day because like
ruin somebody's day.
Yeah, like I want to ruin someone's day. That's just the truth. And Call of Duty allows me to do that, even though they also continue to ruin my day, like as I die. But I just feel like the war is where I need my anger to go, and then after that, I'm like, and now I'm calm and cool. Like I don't need to be mad at nobody.
I don't need to go over the top. It's
fucking like,
great.
I yelled at some random guy for like a good like 10 minutes through the microphone, and I'm good now. I don't know who he is. He doesn't know who I am.
Bomberman 69,
Noob Master. But yeah, so that's been the major one. I've already put in like. I think 115 hours since March. So, I mean, you know, it's been a little bit at least.
Yeah.
A little bit. And the other thing is Final Fantasy VII on the Switch. Yeah, going back and replaying. That's, again, like...
Where are you at right now? How many hours?
I'm, like, at 12 hours. I'm still on disc one. I just did Wutai.
Oh,
nice. I did the whole Wutai side quest. Now I'm going to go do the Temple
of the Ancients. you're actually going through that pretty quickly if you're only 12 hours. You're not grinding, are you?
Not really, but the funny thing is there was a speed run of Final Fantasy VII, I think it was in 2016, where they beat...
Compute PC or PlayStation?
No, on the PlayStation, because the PC you can beat in 3 hours, a little bit less than 3 hours. Because
they can cut, they're cutting the...
So they sideload a save file that... It does like a wrong warp. If you know, speed running terms, wrong warping is basically anytime you do something and then the game tries to reset you, but they put you in a different place because of fucking weird values. So the save will automatically load a game where everybody's already dead. And then you get into an encounter, and since everybody's dead, you immediately die. And something about that like sends you to
someplace,
the North Cave, when you're halfway through Midgar.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay, and what happens in this one, though?
In this one, it's the PlayStation version done in 8 hours. So this is base-ass Final Fantasy VII. Nothing fancy, just somebody who literally memorized...
Is scraping
every...
the bottom of the barrel to make sure to get through everything.
And the thing, too, is that like you can fuck with the game enough where you're doing like top-level damage by the end. Like you So the main thing is that...
It's the skills. It's the monster skills.
Well, it's not even the monster skills. It's the... it's just really good manipulation of materia. So,
or the Catsif cheat?
No,
where you not even that.
Not even that, because that's part of the that's banned in that category.
Okay,
it's basically Tifa who has the Power Soul, who then has a curse ring. So basically, she gets multipliers in every single one of her attacks.
Jesus. Okay,
and she's doing like 8 or 16 times the amount of damage that she should normally be able to do. And then when you nail a fucking death blow, you're doing double that damage.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So it made me realize, like, you don't really need to grind until later on. And I'll grind later on anyway. I'm just trying to get to the part where I'm more open, that I can go and fuck around with more stuff.
Which will be probably in disc two.
In disc two. Yeah. I mean, right now I have the plane, so I'm kind of coasting along the coasts. So I still have
After
full
a while,
access.
You'll just be inside. You'll be inside the Gold Nugget, and you'll be like, "Hey, I'll just play some video games for a few hours."
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, I've replayed that game so many fucking times, and it's just nice to. It's nice to have it on the go, and nice to have it finally on a Nintendo product, which still feels really weird. Like, I think I said this in somewhere else, but it was like, there's one Nintendo salaryman who has been around since Square fucked over Nintendo. And the second that got announced, he just lifted his hand in the air, just said, "Yes!" And then fucking died.
And then he died.
That was his only reason of existence, is to make this fucking happen. But yeah, that's basic. That's the big things in my life is just moving, Fallout 4, and Final Fantasy 7.
Kenny, what have you been up to?
Honestly, when it comes to the past few months, it's been a lot of feels. I know we're gonna talk about it, but it's been a lot of feels that I've gone through, a lot of personal stuff I've gone through, but. Really, when it comes to I also got engaged.
Oh no, just
I also got engaged, guys.
I'm like, what are you even talking about other than like that?
Yeah,
like, that's like the thing.
Yeah, I also got engaged. If you guys go on the Talking Geek on our Instagram and Facebook, you'll be able to find the actual video. We did actually play it on the story on Instagram, how it happened, but pretty much I proposed to Tiff. My now fiance, because we are weird, eccentric, artistic people, we convinced her that for the final episode of Game of Thrones, we were actually going to do a choreographed dance.
Jesus now, here's Christ. The thing. Now, here's the thing. I came up with this idea long before I knew he was proposing because we are that eccentric and odd that I was like, and I had said it in the group and I was like, you know what I would really love to do is for the finale to come up with this big Renaissance dance where we end sitting down and being able to watch the show. I think it would go viral if we like, but I was thinking like, I'm going an even step further. I'm already like shopping in our like costume storage unit going, I have the king's outfit from when I was Joffrey Laugh Attack. We all already dressed up as characters. Like, this is going to be epic if all of us dress up as characters and then do this crazy dance. But I was like, that was just like one of those like
she just threw it out, right? But when she said that, I go, I'm going to use that.
Funny you should
say
that.
No, because I go, this was Q's idea, so there's no way that it can come. It's like Inception.
Yeah.
There's no way it could come to me, so I went along with it. I tell everybody, hey, let's all choreograph
this. Everybody but Panda.
Everybody but Panda.
No, that makes
everybody
that
but
tracks.
Sprout.
That tracks.
Because the thing is that Sprout was in the chat where we were talking about it, but the thing is that the way Panda described it was exactly that. He goes, oh, my friends are doing some quirky stuff. Yeah, these are my friends. I'm going to do it. Yeah, let's do it. So he just did it because because we're weird like that.
We're weird. He's like, I don't know why I'm doing this for these people, but I love them and I want them and I like them as my friends.
Yeah, sure, why not?
So if you watch the video on Instagram and on Twitter and on Facebook, you will see not only Tiff's genuine reaction, but also Panda's genuine reaction when he realizes, oh, this is actually a proposal. And yeah, so I proposed. I'm surprised you didn't find out. I was so nervous. I put the ring underneath the couch where I was going to kneel so I could just grab it. But every 5 seconds, I would look under the couch to see if it was
just
still there.
Just in case one of the dogs was just like, oh, look, a fucking toy.
No, or the cat just went, oh, this is a box, and then just took it away and started patting it around.
He would do that.
But yeah, it was that was great.
He's an asshole like that.
No, but, you know, Max is Hans Kitty. I like calling him Hans Kitty. But yeah, other than that, as far as gaming goes, I've been playing Ashen. I've been playing Arena, which to me, it lacks the physical card aspect, obviously, but I laugh because I get to play against people. Like, you can't really interact, and there's no, like, team speak or there's no voice to talk to anybody. But it's just funny to know when people rage quit in the middle, when you know that they're like, oh, they see you all of a sudden playing Nicole Bolas, and they go, and I'm out, and I'm gone. I've actually, to play something mindless was Shadows of Mordor.
It's a good game for that.
To literally just sneak attack a bunch of Uruk, just constantly.
Yeah, that's not an insult. That's a fun game, but it's a good game just to kind of be able to.
The first one, not the second one.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's pretty much that. I mean, other than having all these feels, like literally it's been crazy.
An emotional roller coaster.
No, it's been from TV shows to movies and all that. It's just, Jesus Christ, this year's already
gone traumatic.
Crazy.
I've done absolute nothing geeky last
stream. Yeah, you have.
I guess I've streamed shows like and movies and things like that. I've kept up with a lot and reading. Of course, as always, I never let those things go. But I was too busy studying for my personal trainer certification.
Yeah,
good reason.
Which I passed, so now I have another title. I feel like very, very much like Daenerys. Like,
oh my god, careful with that.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
we will be covering that later. So that's pretty much it. And working and
lifing.
Yeah, just lifing. Oh, celebrated a birthday. That was cool. Went to Disney for that.
Yes, we went to your birthday.
Yes, went to Disney with that. So that was awesome. Before my annual pass expired. and all that. I'm still very pissed off that Disney does not allow you to smoke inside anymore.
That sucks.
At all.
Like, not even, like, vape. And yet there I saw more people smoking with the ban than when there was no ban. Like, we were in Hollywood Studios, and we're going to go eat at the sci-fi diner that was there.
We ate there, too.
Yeah. We made reservations there, and we ate there. So, but we're going, and there's a lady standing outside of the restaurant, which is not even a smoking, like, an old smoking section, straight up smoking a cigarillo, like just... Like,
from the low?
Like, no, like blatant.
Oh, blatant?
Like, she was standing outside the restaurant, just smoking it, right?
Oh, my God.
In Animal Kingdom, we went to get a drink from the bar that's right there in the Harambe Village that's there.
Ah, yes.
Double tap, boom.
Memories.
Sorry, guys. And I'm going up to the bar, and the guy in the corner is straight vaping. No worries, no nothing. And so what I did realize, and what we realized incorrectly, is that the one beneficial thing of me smoking, of me having this addiction, is that at Epcot, you have pause breaks, because I would ask everybody, hey, I'm going to go have a cigarette, and everybody would sit in a bench, and we would then, like, everybody would wait while I was smoking a cigarette, and then it was like a break time. But because I couldn't smoke the entire time that we were at Epcot, it was nonstop walking. We must have walked the entire expand of Epcot like 3 times without stopping, like just into the stores and getting the drink and walking outside and getting food and doing all this. We never sat.
The only time we did was when we never sat. The only time we stopped moving was when we were in line to get tequila.
Yeah.
Or when it was raining and we had to go inside the Chinese theater.
This there.
That's the only other time. We never actually sat.
No. Yeah.
And I could see Q's face, because Q's like, all right, I got to keep going. Because I know that the moment she stopped, she would have been like.
So it was so bad that night we didn't even go out. My legs were swollen, and I work out that. My knees were swollen from how much we had walked.
So was Tiff. Tiff was already like, she was going to go. She was like, Q wants to go out. I'm going to go out.
I laid in that bed after a hot shower, and my legs just went.
That's the thing that sucks about it. You can't go to, or like anybody who has never been to Orlando, and I'm going to assume that Anaheim is the same way if you go to Disneyland, you can't go to any of these parks and then expect to be 100%. Go. I don't give a fuck how healthy you are. You're going to be walking around in the sun all fucking day. If you're at Epcot, you're going to be fucking drinking. You're going to hit like 9 or 10 p.m. You're going to fucking drop.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. But it was a good time. I had a great time otherwise. I still snuck my jewel pen, and
you know, you may or may not have snuck.
I may or may not. This is my annual pass is expired anyways.
I think it's one of those things where it's like it gives them the excuse to kick you out.
Yeah, well, what
maybe it's one of those things where like, don't do it again.
Now, we went the weekend it had just started.
Oh, okay.
So there was still an adjustment period where they weren't kicking you out. If they caught anybody. Which none of the people that I saw smoking were caught or told anything. Yeah. But if you were caught, what they were doing was escorting you outside to the smoking area to show you where it is and that you
Which is literally
smoke
outside
there.
Past the ticket counter.
No, God. And the only place that has a nice one is Animal Kingdom. It has this nice little section right outside the Rainforest Cafe, and you're like in a bench and all of that. There is no outside smoking section in Hollywood Studios.
Or
there's
Epcot.
At Hollywood, really?
There's none at Epcot. They haven't built it yet. Like, they passed this law without really thinking about, like, well, where are we going to stick them? Well, I guess we're just going to stick them outside. So then you end up feeling like the black sheep of Disney. You know what I mean? Like, you're all huddled in one little section in one little corner in this, like, we're the... Yeah, we're like the redheaded stepchildren of Disney. I know. It's a phrase.
The
guys,
freaks.
Deal with it.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's a thing. So anyhow, other than that, that was and so yeah, I've watched Umbrella Academy, Dead to Me, Wife from the Deep. What else have we seen?
What do you mean? She slept through half of them.
Sabrina,
oh,
the
Sabrina.
Second season.
I saw
the second
also.
Season of Sabrina, I actually finished, yeah.
Yeah, second season of Sabrina. I've also seen I'm finishing up the latest season of Riverdale.
Riverdale.
Yeah.
Why do you keep you don't like it? Why do you keep watching?
Because it's this weird guilty pleasure. It's delicious.
Oh, so
trash.
You do like it?
It to a certain extent, see, yes.
Okay, then you.
No, that's fine. Okay, that's fine.
Yes,
as long
to
as
a
you're
certain
getting,
extent,
as long
but
as you're getting some enjoyment.
But
out of
I
it.
Still cringe knowing that I'm getting it. That's why it's a guilty pleasure because I'm like I cringe knowing that I'm watching this show.
Do you feel that way about Sabrina?
No. No, I
okay,
don't.
Good.
No, Riverdale is not Sabrina. Riverdale is
really
at all.
Oh no, no, no. Riverdale
is very campy.
So campy.
It's very campy. Like if you think I know you don't think Sabrina's campy because it's not.
I mean, it is a little campy.
It is
has,
a little,
but it's
it has that. It has Helga. That's what Helga. Yeah. Helga makes it camp. But
Riverdale is a CW show.
Yeah.
So think about that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And then so it's got all of the cheese of every of. Just every formula of, for preteens you can possibly imagine.
Okay.
And so I watched that, and I'm now catching up to the latest season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which Vanessa hates.
The season or the show?
The show. She hates that show.
I was going to ask, when is Handmaid's Tale coming?
Next week. The 13th, 14th, something like that, I believe.
Oh, the 14th.
Handmaid's... There's so much shit dropping this month between Handmaid's Tale... there was more. I now all I think about is Handmaid's
so
Tale.
So many things. Handmaid's
oh,
Tale.
Oh, Good Omen just
Good
dropped.
Good Omen.
So I watched the first episode of that already.
Okay.
But there's more shows that are dropping that I knew I needed to
okay,
like organize.
So I know that it's one doctor. Who's the other one that's also in
Devil
Good
Tori.
Omen?
He's a he's from Twilight. He's from Masters of Sex, and
yeah.
He is.
Is yes. That the guy?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Now
but
I know who that is.
He's
oh, my God.
What else is he in? Wife from Afar? And?
Good job.
And?
Good job.
There was one more.
Survey says?
So, this is review time. There has been so many things that have come out that we... Excuse me, that we have seen since our last recording, because literally every huge
Everything.
Drop of things that could have happened.
Everything came.
I'll start
Feels.
With the
so
least popular, but the best fan base in regards to spoilers, which was The Magicians, because nobody that I know that watches that show said a lick of anything. About the show, except I spoiled it for myself.
That's what I was saying.
You,
they were so good that you had to spoil
yourself.
It for yourself.
I spoiled it for myself because of the actors, those bastards. They were actually the ones that spoiled it, not fans. The actor himself spoiled it for me. If you have not seen the finale, Chad, if you have not seen
Chad.
It, yeah, if of this last
Do
season.
Do not listen.
Stop right now. Stop listening. If you haven't seen The End of Magicians, stop listening right now because I have to at least talk about this for like at least 2 minutes and then we can just keep moving. But you've been warned. You've been warned. This is your final
so
warning.
Many warnings.
And in 3, 2, 1.
Get
what
it.
The fuck, Quentin?
Yeah.
Holy Woo. Shit. First of all, Ralph James, you ruined it for me because you said a farewell on your Instagram and I caught it and didn't put pieces together things. I just... pressed see more before I should have known what see more was going to be, and then I kind of
you see
it
more.
Myself.
You're like no more.
And then,
I don't want to see more.
The worst part is that
see
we
less.
Were 3 episodes behind, right? So we're 3 episodes behind, and now I already know how the season comes. What this big culminating thing of Quentin dying is going to happen in the finale,
yeah.
Which sucked for me because I'm the only one in the house that knows what's happening. And the episodes prior to his death are these wonderful moments for him.
No.
So I'm watching as the house is like, oh, finally this is happening to Quentin. And I'm like, these show writers are assholes. They're literally making you be so excited that this character is finally getting things that we've been wanting him to get. And I know you're going to kill him. Like, how fucked up is this?
So, like, but because of, like, because of my connection with anime, I would have been like, oh, they're setting him up to die. Except he's the main fucking character.
Right. He's the main fucking character. And they didn't do it very... anime-ish style.
He
didn't get it just beautifully on this platter of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as a matter of fact, what he gets is that he gets back with Alice.
Yeah.
But still not 100%. Like, they still haven't had this conversation, but there's this, like, level of understanding that you're waiting for them to have.
Yeah.
But it's there, so you know that there's potential for him to get with her. So he doesn't even get the girl.
And he's the main fucking character.
He's the main fucking character.
I think George R. R. Martin had a hand in this.
He definitely looked at that and went like, damn.
No, he went.
cool. Yeah. And he was like, yeah.
I was so distraught after that. And so we watched this, by the way, so that everybody has an understanding. We watched this the same week that Endgame premiered and that Game of Thrones season 8 premiered. So I was going into this going, this could be the shittiest week for a fan that I could ever, ever have. And sure enough, I cried like a little bitch. And then I went into a depressive wormhole of I was going to now go back and watch an extremely important episode to the Magicians between Elliot and Quentin. And I was going to just cry
some
God. More.
That to me hurt. That to me hurt so much because that whole season was culminating in him saving somebody that he truly loved, that he spent an entire life with, because that's exactly what it was. So when he finally saved him, I go, you know, and that's why it hurt. That to me is why it hurt.
Oh, I held it together. I cried when he first like died. Then they do this huge campfire sing. Song thing while they're throwing items. I guess that's the way that they have closure. They're throwing each character's throwing items that they had importance with Quentin into the fire as they're singing. What is it? REM's
Take on Me. Yeah, which is sorry. Right now, look, I'm getting goosebumps just so thinking about that right
I'm
now.
I'm already like, okay, this is bad, right? There's no Elliot yet. I'm like, that one's gonna kill me. That one's going to kill me, and I know it's going to kill me when Elliot finally comes because they had finally he saved Elliot but died for it.
Yeah.
And so that culminates to this whole other episode that had him and Elliot breaking Quentin's heart because Quentin wanted to date him after that episode of A Day in the Life, and that crushed the two. Like, there's so much drama going on between this beautiful, beautiful couple of that never was a couple. And then Elliot goes and throws a fucking peach, which is what they grew in that episode, and threw it in the fire. And I was mess of emotions, mess of everything.
Dude,
I was distraught, only to then have to see the next thing that was going to come and hope that nothing happened in both Game of Thrones and Endgame. Now let's get into Endgame. If you haven't seen Endgame by now, fuck you. You deserve these spoilers. I'm sorry.
It's made like $2.5 billion. Like, yeah. You've seen this.
Everybody has seen it at one point.
There's people who have seen it who never saw any other Marvel movie ever.
Makes no sense
which to it me. Does make no sense whatsoever. I'm like, at least watch Infinity War before you watch that. But yeah. I know people who watched it and were like, I don't know anything that's going on. And I'm like, are you so stupid? Like, why would you watch that?
I'm just coming in at the finish line.
Wait,
like, what?
Wait, did Brandon see it already? Which Brandon is Damien over on Dungeons and Dragons?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to him about it. I know
then
he had
Brandon, don't listen to this.
Yeah.
Brandon,
so,
stop.
Right now.
Stop.
Yeah, I will warn you. No, so okay, we're about to get into it, guys. Let's just get right into. No, we're not gonna do Endgame. We're gonna do Captain Marvel first because that's the one that came in.
Gotcha.
So, Captain Marvel. I can go over Captain Marvel very quickly. I enjoyed her. I love everybody started comparing like Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel, and I didn't really necessarily like agree with that comparison
because there can only be one woman,
right?
Like,
of course,
you can't have two women,
right? And I think that they're two totally different types of female superheroes. For one, two totally different worlds, comic book wise. Not just because it's DC and Marvel, but just the style of what that means is totally different. The movies had their own different angles. I am and my personality, I vibe more with Captain Marvel, and especially the way that they portrayed her in this particular movie. So I enjoyed it more than Wonder Woman because of that. Not that it was a better movie, not that Wonder Woman was a bad movie. I loved Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But for me as a fan, I can see more of me in Carol
yeah.
than I can in Diana. You know what I mean? So because of that, for me, Captain Marvel was a fucking epic movie. There's a street cat in our backyard right now who had kittens, and I named that cat Goose, which is Captain Marvel's
one of the babies Flurkin.
I should have.
Oh my God! You should have.
No, little pie maze. I enjoyed the movie. I liked her in it. Brie Larson. I'm actually now in a quite little. I'm in a mini obsessive Brie Larson stage.
You're in your crush stage right now.
Yeah, I'm in my crush stage. So I like follow her on Instagram, and I saw her Unicorn Store movie, and I had already been a fan of her from when she was in United States of Tara, so this just, like, catapulted
just made it more,
like,
intense.
Even more intense, and she... Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm in Brie Larson world right now.
Half of Marvel isn't fucking Scott Pilgrim. Yeah. Fucking,
people don't realize that, yeah.
That's
massive. Yeah. But I enjoyed that she didn't have a love interest, and I hate that internet trolls try to make her automatically a lesbian just because there wasn't any love interest. I would love her as a lesbian, but that doesn't mean that she is. And
her and Rhodey are supposed to be a thing in the comics.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
I would much prefer her with Valkyrie.
I mean, yeah, but I'm saying, like, you know, like, that's, I guess maybe people were expecting something like that to pop up, but they kind of had a nod to it in Endgame.
Yeah, but not even.
But not even. That was literally just like, oh, it was just like seeing, the couple of nods in Captain Marvel, like seeing Kelly Sue DeConnick, the writer.
Yes.
The one scene, and that was very funny, just because literally it was like, she just pops out over and over, like, oh, shit. Stan Lee's cameo with a Kevin Smith reference.
Yeah,
which was
dope.
Fucking great.
That was fucking
dope.
That
made me pop in the theater, like, really, really hard.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I would watch it again. I had left the theater going, I'd pay to watch it again. Like, I enjoyed it that much. I thought it was fun, and I actually wasn't sure going into it because the previews, I don't think, did the movie justice. Mm. When it came to what they showed and how they gave you the vibe of the movie and how well for me it turned out to be.
Well, they would have had to have spoiled the whole thing.
That's
with,
what I'm saying. Yeah.
That spoiled that was even a twist even for me because in the comics, like, yeah, the Kree. Oh my god, I can't remember. The Kree Skrull War. Mm-hmm. Like, it is complicated, but the Skrulls are still typically done as villains, and here
they're not.
Yeah, I did not absolutely expect that. I expected that to be way more one-sided.
Well, I think they were going to push that to be, like, soon it's going to be, or maybe there's going to be just that radical.
I mean, they'll be the Super Skrull, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be the Super Skrull. I honestly...
It's like the rest of the Kree are fine. It was just, you know, the Supreme Intelligence and Jude Law.
I mean, with this, if you compare it again with, like, when we bring up Wonder Woman, I honestly think that both of them individually did great, both of these movies. I really, like you said, I really can't compare it. It was good for what Captain Marvel did for her character. I think it was good. Would I want to see it again? I'm okay if I don't see it again. I understand the character's way. Like, I like the things that were in it, but it doesn't... I honestly would like to see more of Professor Hulk, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's your personal thing. I mean, I really like Captain Marvel. I mean,
that's you. Yeah, I know.
That's
you.
One of my homegirls.
All of a sudden now, if Power Girl gets a movie, you're going to go insane.
Jesus Christ, I would fucking lose my shit. If Power Girl got a movie, I'd be really confused. I'm like, oh wait, Warner Brothers actually does like comic books.
Whoop.
Yeah, DC. I don't know about them, but they make us a lot of money. But I was really, it was everything I wanted, and I think that she's a great, Brie Larson's a great, great Carol, especially because she's not really Carol for most of the movie, and even when she is Carol, like, she's still trying to figure her shit out.
Yeah,
and like, you ended up finding out that she technically filmed Infinity War before she filmed Captain Marvel.
Right.
So I think it was interesting because you do kind of get her being more normal Carol in Infinity War, and then she has to do the build up to get to that point. And
right.
I think that's pretty great. I think that's actually ended up working out. That could have been disastrous, but
yeah, it could have been.
But yeah, no, I was really happy with the movie. I love the changes they made to the lore, changing Marvel's sex to be.
A female.
To be, I can't remember, almost said Angela Bassett. It's definitely not Angela
Bassett. Diane, no.
Angela, brain.
I can't think of the name.
Yeah,
no.
But to be her instead, and then still have it factor in that the fact that he was a scientist doing an experiment and she somehow absorbed. But actually, I did find it interesting, and this is kind of fast forwarding to some of the stuff in Endgame, how the two people, Annette Bening, that's what it was, the two people that put up the stiffest resistance directly to Thanos were the two people that had been experimented on with Infinity Gems.
Yes.
Scarlet Witch and Carol.
And Carol.
Both of them had been fucked with the Infinity Gem. That's the only thing that... And then a lot of people... I mean, the internet's fucking stupid for many reasons. But then people complaining, like, oh, basically that she's too powerful and you know, that it was
that
fucking
could have she could have killed him, like... fast and all that other shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think Yeah, she would have fucking murdered. And the only thing that not even so much that took her out of the battle long enough, because Thanos was definitely panicked.
Yes.
Well, he was like, well, wait,
she was going to rip his arm off.
Hold on.
However, I do want to say that Jude Law was actually a really good villain in that movie.
I did like Jude Law.
I did like him. I thought it was going to be very Thor-ish. I thought it was going to be a Thor villain where you're like, okay, he has to be there. So in order for this story to go somewhere, but he actually pushed it along to it. He actually made me believe.
Yeah.
That this was actually a good like depth to a character.
Yeah, Jude Law is one of those actors that I usually enjoy his performances. He usually brings his A game.
Few things that I can't even think anything off the top of my head right now that I haven't enjoyed him seen him.
Yeah, he's always been good.
And she just signed a 5-year contract, so 5-movie deal.
Fuck yeah!
So I'm all about
that's
that.
At least 2 more Avengers.
That's right. So let's just get to it. Let's get to Endgame.
Let's get to the Endgame, baby.
Endgame. Hulk. Death.
Okay, so. I guess we should try to go
in order.
Chronologically throughout the movie. So, you have Tony, all the stuff with Tony, and all of the trailers ended up being like the first thing in the fucking
which
movie.
Which they had said that all of that would be the first 20 minutes of the movie, and it was. But I still didn't want to see it. So I mean, I only saw the trailer of him talking into the helmet. That's the only thing I would allow myself to see. And even anything else that came after that was apparently still only the first 20 minutes. So. Cool. I love Marvel for that.
Did you think, and this was completely illogical, when I saw him in space and I saw the halo of fire, for one brief second, I thought, Phoenix? Phoenix Force? Wait, what? And then obviously I'm Carol is.
No, I had called that Carol was going to be the one to save him.
Makes sense. She's the only one.
Yeah, she's the only one that could. I didn't know how she was going to do it, but I knew it. I went into the movie with knowing two things. Like, I went telling myself two things. Like, what I thought I was going to... with my own theories. Actually, I went in with, like, 4 theories, but only 2 of them were right, and that was, like, the first one. That was it. The other one was who was going to die. Like,
oh, yeah.
But I was wrong on the how. Like, that's the other only thing, that the how is very, very different to all of that. But I thought that the movie, for a 3-hour movie, paced itself incredibly well.
It moved.
It moved. Yeah. It didn't. They were smart in the sense as to where the real action starts is right in that twitch moment of after like 2 hours sitting in the seat. So it allowed you to never feel that. I actually went with the Geek Bro Net people, and Missy was like really adamant about going to the palace because it has recliner seats.
Yes.
And I thought that halfway through the movie, I was sitting next to Christine. I was like, this was pointless because I'm not reclined at all. I am on
not
the
relaxed.
Edge of my fucking seat. I'm huffing and puffing. I don't even know why why I sat here, because I'm not enjoying this this as much as I should be. I actually loved the pacing. Professor Hulk was an interesting twist.
I geeked out so hard when I saw that.
That had been spoiled for me.
I geeked out. I sat there, and when I saw him with the glasses, I looked at everybody on the side. I was like, ha, ha, ha.
That's my boy.
It's like, it's happening.
For me, the one thing that I loved that nobody spoiled, and it was such a pleasant surprise, was fucking Fat Thor. Like,
yeah,
Fat
that was
Thor,
great.
Fat Thor.
The plot thickens.
It's
extra thick.
It was so good, and he has had such an arc with Thor that I have now thoroughly enjoyed. Like, he was my least favorite character because it was my least favorite movies. And whatever happened between him and the character and the writers and Thor Ragnarok just for me propelled a totally different Thor.
He has this arc between the three, between Ragnarok, Infinity War, and Endgame. He has his own mini arc right there.
He has his own mini arc that totally turns him into a completely different character that led to what we get in Endgame, but it was great. And seeing Chris Hemsworth like that is just freaking fantastic.
Full on Big Lebowski looking.
That was great.
I saw him and I'm like, oh, Tony's going to call on Lebowski. I fucking called it.
I said it 2 seconds before Tony said it on the stage. on the screen, I looked at Christy and I go, man, he looks like the dude. And then here comes in Stark, and I just laughed, and Christy looked at me. She was like, you are Tony. I was like, at least for right now, I am indeed
Tony. He looks like Lebowski, of course.
Yeah. So I I want to say so much about the movie, but I don't want to. Everybody's seen it. Everybody's been talked about it. So for me, the most unique things that I want to at least like pinpoint on things that I like thoroughly enjoyed was, and I had an internet war with some internet troll about it, about the female representation in the movie. And I thought that it was absolutely ridiculous that there was this article written like, oh, we saw that you tried, Marvel, but try again. You still let down women. And I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever read in my entire life.
Like a Gizmodo article or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was like something stupid.
It was
stupid.
IO9 for sure.
IO9. I know that whatever I responded to in that thread, I have never had a comment go more viral than that. I had like by the end of the week, I had like over 1,000 likes or reactions to it. And people going underneath, like, nothing else needs to be said. Like, enough said.
Oh,
you
did it.
Yeah, like I had already, like, yeah, people were like using GIFs of like this. Like, I happen to love the fact that once shit went down, you had Scarlett Johansson who jumped in and she took over for the Avengers and was the leader. In that leader pack, you had her overseeing Carol in fucking space. I always forget her character's name from Wakanda.
Michonne. Whatever Michonne's
Okoya.
Okoya. I'm going to call her Michonne for the rest of my life. that she was also leading Wakanda. You have all that's just there when everything has gone to shit, that there's these still these women that are out there and fighting and taking over and in charge of their cities or their countries or their whatever. Then you have the fight scene. And that was what they were bashing too. Like, oh, we didn't need this all female scene. Like, we're in all of them band together. And I was like, yes, we did. And even if we didn't, all the better to Marvel to give it to us anyways.
And it's like literally the complaint where you have entire fucking battles where it's only dudes. And it's like suddenly now you show the women and you're complaining about it. It's
like you're complaining about it.
It's like really, why are you complaining about it?
And then some people were like, oh, it seemed forced. I was like, so how do we ever get across? How do we ever cross that line where we're giving women more screen time and opportunities and all this other shit? When every time they do, then it's for like it's not forced. I thought that scene was awesome. I thought that all of them banding together
that
and
buildup was great.
Listen,
actually,
everybody looked at Peter and they went, "You precious child, we're fucking saving you.
Yeah,
we're saving Peter."
That's exactly. It's like it's it is the
kill mode.
It's activate kill mode. That was great.
Yeah.
But to save is like it. They made it go. You need help. We just happen to be here. I mean, I don't understand. Like, I get it. Look, I get the fact that that Carol could have just done it herself. But they were all in the middle of a fight. It's the heat of battle. This made a lot of sense to have them there.
Well, and not only that, but you had Carol also struggling because Scarlet Witch had attacked Thanos and got him so
fucking
scared that he brought he was like rain upon them because clearly this bitch is gonna kill me.
This bitch is gonna fucking kill me.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, you also had two female characters, Nebula and Gamora, who the Gamora we're seeing is not the Gamora we know. She is not gonna betray her father to help this. Like all these women did these amazing choices and these amazing things, and part of me was like, you're really going to bitch about this movie that has given us Nebula, Gamora, Okoye, Valkyrie, who ends up taking over...
becomes the queen of Asgard.
Of Asgard. Yeah. You have Carol. You have Scarlet Witch. You have Black Widow. You had fucking Pepper come out in a fucking costume,
oh
right?
Oh, my God. Seeing her in the rescue... like
the rescue suit,
I remember seeing her come... When she lands in the Iron Man pose, the rescue suit, like, I was like... I start tearing up. I'm like, this. It's or on your left.
Yeah,
and then it's
happening.
It's so good.
Or just like, why are they shooting up into space? And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. And then part of me was like, why don't you go yell at DC that has only given us Wonder Woman? Because every other female character that we've gotten is a villain.
Mara's not a villain though. From Aquaman.
I fell asleep in that movie twice.
Yeah, she's the only female.
So maybe they should give us a female that is not a villain and also entertaining enough to not make me sleep.
She wasn't a main character.
So in all honesty, DC has given us none of that. One, Wonder Woman, which was great, thank you. But every other woman that has been big is a villain that we want to kill and now is no longer existing in this realm because she's defeated at the end. So I thought it was great.
I just remembered. I had a flash of memory from fucking. I love David Thewlis. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great actor. the horrible Ares CG at the end of Wonder Woman still makes me laugh. It still makes me laugh because it was like a 101 style of like literally cutting and pasting a picture of his eyes. Sorry.
Yeah.
It just made me laugh.
I mean,
what a good actor. Why do they have to do that to him?
Things like that. I also, unfortunately, Marvel always drops movies the week of my birthday. Like, that has been like a thing now for years upon years upon years. And I, of course, was going to go see it. Everybody's going to know that is now listening to this. Fucking Iron Man destroyed me. It destroyed me. And it destroyed me on so many fronts that I was crying for a very long time. I still get choked up when I think about it. Although I did know he was going to die. I thought originally, this is where my theory was wrong, I thought him and Cap were going to go for the Soul Stone, which when Scarlet, when Black Widow and Hawkeye go for it, I was like, oh shit. Like, well, uh-oh.
The part that sucked about, and this is the problem with like reading about news and stuff, they have a Hawkeye show. And so I was like, oh, they're going to kill, because I think they also talked about how Natasha's movie is going to be a prequel. It's about like her early life.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, I put it together very quickly, like, oh, she's the one that's dying. He's not.
Once I knew that they were going for the Soul Stone, I knew she was going to be the one to die. She wasn't going to do. She was going to. He had everything to continue to live for, and she wasn't going
to
let him.
He had everything to lose, and she had. Oh, not that she had nothing, but she had far less.
But she was always the sacrificer because of her upbringing and because of the things that she just couldn't have in her life. Another reason she took over the Avengers. This is her life. That was her life.
Yeah.
So her sacrificing, and for all people, Hawkeye. Like, for sure, I knew that that's what was going to happen. Tony's death killed me, and then it continued to kill me because. So of course everybody's trying to hold from spoilers. I see the movie. I'm crying like a babbling idiot, and I love you 3000 and the whole nine and
all of it.
Just all of it. The cheeseburger thing. Like
Tony Stark has a heart.
It's just it was too much. The kid from Iron Man 3 being
that
in
was
the funeral.
Fucking
the fact
nuts.
That the fact that they put him there and they didn't even allude to who he was. You had to when you see it and you figure it out. You go. Holy shit. You just sit there and go, fuck, man.
Spider-Man, Peter Parker, when he's talking to him that he's dying, like, I can't.
Yeah.
So then I'm crying. I have dinner plans for my birthday after this. And I am gifted a Iron Man Snuggie.
No!
And I was like, oh, my God, my heart. I went to sleep in all Iron Man everything for, like, 2 weeks straight.
What
like it was like
only
Iron. Yeah
I think you still are.
No, well, sometimes I
well
still
I
do.
Mean what are you wearing?
Oh, I am wearing
that's technically a War Machine.
It's War Machine yeah. But it is it is still the same.
It
has an arc reactor. I went to sleep and all of that, but what happens is everybody knows that I'm an Iron Man fan. So I can't say anything, like nothing.
You can't process your guilt.
I can't process not my depression. I can't even change a profile picture. Like I can't do anything, or everybody's gonna immediately know what happened and that I spoiled it for everyone. Then on top of that, every time somebody would see the movie, and because they know that I love Iron Man, I would get a message. Hey, I just saw Iron Man. I mean, I just saw Endgame. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Are you okay? I would relive it. I relived it every single moment. And then that weekend that it opened, I got like 33 different messages in different facets in Instagram, on Facebook Messenger. People like, oh my God, are you okay? And oh my God, I know it's so sad. Right. You lost your Tony. I was like, y'all need, just leave me the fuck alone. You know, like, let me grieve.
Let me
recover. I lost Quentin and now I've lost Iron Man. I was like, not about Game of Thrones. I was like, who? If I lose Arya, it's fuck everything. Fuck this show. Fuck this whole fucking thing. Fuck everything. I'm not watching. I'm not getting a fandom ever again. Other than that, I thought the movie was great. I've seen it. I may or may not have seen this movie a few times.
You only say that because you may or may not have spoken with a Russian friend about
yeah,
it.
Correct.
You may or may not have a Ruski friend.
I might not.
Maybe not.
I thought the movie was great. I thought it ended well. I thought I don't give a shit who's listening to this episode. They set their own time rules. so you abide by their time rules.
Whether or not the time rules screwed up at the end, it doesn't matter.
The Russo brothers have come out and already expressed that that was supposed to be an open end on purpose.
So Jay, I still... I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. The only thing that ultimately makes me confused is where the fuck is Cap?
Was it a separate parallel universe?
So then, who is the old man that they're talking to?
That is Cap. That's their Cap. Okay, so this Cap.
Okay. So is it one of those things where it was like diverging universes and everything came back together at the very end?
Yes, his okay. separate timeline is just with Peggy, and then he comes.
Up.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's why he knows where to go, where to be, and that's why he's old.
Oh, so the point of divergence is when he goes back in time. So if he's at that point, then he's caught up with everybody. Okay.
To me, I just think it's funny that he was there going through the Jim Crow era, and he's like, nope.
No, he's not in Jim Crow era. He's already past that.
It was already past that. It was in the 40s. He went through the 40s. In other words, he went from there through the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And he's watching all this happen. And he's like, nope. I'm going to enjoy my life.
Or like, I think the best gift is like, oh, Bill Cosby is so funny. And this was the pic of him like fucking looking depressed.
Now, the better question is, where the fuck is Loki?
Well, we're going to have a TV show that'll tell you exactly what the fuck happened to Loki.
So, again, they set their own time rules. I was fine with their fucking time rules once they've explained it. These are the rules we're going to play by. Back to the Future is bullshit in this movie.
Yeah.
And in Back to the Future, their rules apply in their movie.
So this is where things get interesting. Okay, I always find it funny when certain movies pick certain things to exist.
Yes.
So in the MCU, Back to the Future exists.
Correct.
In the MCU, The Big Lebowski exists.
Correct, which means...
Did he fight The Big Lebowski in the first fucking Iron Man movie? And is he thinking back, wait a second.
Wait a minute.
I mean, that's all stupid.
That would be
things.
Hilarious. That would be hilarious.
That's stupid quibbly stuff that honestly, it doesn't really matter. It's fun to kind of look... I have no problem like joking around about that shit, but ultimately it doesn't affect the fact that they nailed most of it, and they did a fucking heist movie. They did a time travel movie,
yeah.
And they managed to take most of their stories and complete them in a fairly good way. I mean,
and I love that they brought in all the older movies. We got to see the epic first Avengers circle shot of all of them in New York City again. We got to see, like, I appreciate.
We got That's America's Ass, one of the best lines.
Oh my God, that was fucking
Stairs!
Amazing.
I thought of you instantly when that happened.
Dude, I'm there every time that happened. Every time something like that would happen, I look over everybody and go,
So I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had no problems with the time shit. I understood what was happening.
With the exception of that last part, I got it.
Yeah. I was confused, but I was like, I'm sure I maybe missed something. Like, I had already known that I needed to watch it again with going into it with less anxiety, because the first time I'm watching it, I'm so nervous about what's going to happen and the tension is so high that I know I'm missing other things because I can't focus. Like, going back and watching it the second time, I noticed a lot more little things that I didn't pick up on the first time, and because I was calm and I already knew what was happening. So is it my favorite Marvel MCU movie? No. Anything that kills Tony can't be my fucking favorite.
Damn.
How can I be like, yeah, my favorite movie is the one where my favorite character dies?
I also think that it's still the second half of a movie.
Yes, like exactly.
I almost feel like they're two, like Endgame Infinity War and Endgame
should
are,
be one.
And then
unit.
There's like an intermission between the two movies.
Right. I mean, it's like saying that your favorite movie is Deathly Hallows 2. Like, nobody would say that.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, it does a really good job of wrapping up all of these multiple timelines and stuff. But I mean, the fact that it has to juggle that kind of affects just general quality, because I mean, if you have like one movie where you can focus on one character, obviously you're going to be able to kind of grow things a little
bit
more.
Yeah, you can flesh it out. You can flesh it out easier that way.
But for something like this,
no,
the advantage is, and this is the genius about it. All of these stories, if you go into this movie, you already saw what this character went into.
Mm-hmm.
You already saw what they went through. So when they do something, you know it's because of the shit that happened before. Yeah. Because hey, guess what? You're watching a comic book, and I think that's. the issue that a lot of people who get too fucking up their ass about this shit is that, look, yes, it's a movie, but it's a movie that's adapting another medium, and it's taking the things from that medium and rewarding the audience who went through it in the same way.
It's like whenever they do a TV series, and then all of a sudden they do a movie for that TV series, and they don't explain anything in the movie.
Yeah.
And you go, well, if you would have watched the seasons, you would know why this person is doing what they're doing.
I watched Serenity before I saw Firefly.
Exactly.
And I enjoyed Serenity completely.
Yeah.
But after watching all of Firefly and then seeing Serenity, I'm like, this is a better movie because now I understand the fucking context for everything.
So, yeah, I give it, if I had to rate Endgame, I know we didn't do it with the other ones, but if I had to rate Endgame, because this is the one we were really excited about talking about, I would give it a 9 out of 10.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, I just go with enjoyment factor. Like, I can nitpick later on, but the one viewing that I had, I'll give it, I feel like a 9.5. I mean, just for the difficulty. The difficulty in nailing this was...
Mm-hmm. But
there was a podcast with Kevin Smith where he spoke to the writers, who also were the ones who wrote all the Captain America movies and wrote fucking The Dark World.
Oh, okay.
So, again, funny that they go back to Captain America movies and the fucking and the Dark World. And just the difficulties and how long and arduous it was to be able to do something like that. And for pulling that off, that's a 9.5 at least.
I will give it a solid 9. This really good movie. Obviously, there's parts about it that I would watch over and over again.
Yes.
Yeah. But
the Hulk snap.
Hulk snap. I thought that was good. No, there was so much development with these characters, with Hulk, with Thor, with even the support characters like Valkyrie and stuff like that. Everybody had depth in their character when you saw them. Okay, even characters that came from Black Panther had depth to them.
Yep.
You already know who they were. You already know what they're about. With these characters, with the main eight, is it 8 or 9? With the main 8 characters.
I would say 9. I mean, there's so many.
Right. You saw little bits of them, and they literally jumped back and forth so that you got enough screen time of each of them and made enough sense. I'll tell you right now, there's not too many movies out there that could do that.
No.
So
very, very few.
I can't give it a perfect 10 because there is no perfect movie, but this is a movie that I would enjoy watching over again.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say that is a detriment, even though I didn't feel like it was a detriment, is the time. Because this is not a movie that I could just randomly pop on.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, the times that I resaw it in sections.
Yeah.
Like, I actually saw, like, the first hour when I had, like, a moment. And then I had to, like, leave it where I had left off. And then came. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you do? You just left the theater.
I did.
Walked around.
I got up. I'm really good friends with the guy who.
It's this Russian dude that works at the theater.
You know, and I mean, I got
Vladimir. What are you doing here?
I had a bunch of stuff spoiled for me because I looked it up when somebody had mentioned something. Now it was from a viewing that they had in Saudi Arabia, Dubai, or some place over
right.
there. And I read it just because the person saying, like, this will not affect your enjoyment of the movie. It's not major plot points. And it did spoil. It spoiled Professor Hulk. It spoiled. But I had a feeling that they were going to do something like that just based off of what he was saying at the end of Infinity War. That he was saying, like, oh, we got to figure something out. And in my mind, I'm thinking, like, well, that probably means they're going to do some sort of thing where he can control Hulk. And if he can control Hulk, he's smarter. So henceforth, he would be fucking
Professor Hulk.
And then,
stay in school, kids. Listen to your mom.
Yeah, it's so fucking great. And he dabs in a fucking picture. Yeah. Yeah, it's so saucy. And even stuff with, like, being able to nail the fucking snaps. Like, there could not have been a better way for Tony to go out.
Oh,
like, literally,
sure.
Everything he said, everything leading up to it, the way how Doc Strange gave him the signal.
Yeah.
Literally, like, this is the one.
Yep.
This is the one. Like, I got chills with that because, especially, you don't really get a lot of humanity out of Doc Strange because he's so focused on magic, and you got that from that one moment, like, Cumberbatch fucking killing it, where he literally is looking at him and telling a guy, like, "You gotta die."
Yeah.
But you know, this is the one, and of course, like, and There was something I read that really focused on the growth of
Tony.
Of Tony and of Steve.
Right.
Where Tony learned to be, to sacrifice, whereas Steve learned to live.
Right. They switched.
They switched. Because you can't be one way.
Right.
Of either one, because you're a greedy prick, or you're so self-sacrificial you can't live your own life.
Which was also like a...
And
like
Tony, and Steve got what he deserved.
And so did Tony.
And so did Tony. Tony got... Like, Tony became the hero he knew that he could be.
Yeah. And, like, and a wonderful moment of his arc was in him making sure that when he said, as long as I don't lose this, which was Morgan... Like, we can change and do and whatever the fuck you want, but I got to be able to come back to this.
Yes.
This exact thing.
His emphasis of, like, don't fuck it up. I need to be able to keep... Oh, the other thing that got spoiled was the hammer. Was Steve picking up. But that was another thing where I'm like, if they're going to do it, it has to be in this movie because his contract is up.
Yeah.
And that is such a fucking huge thing in the comics.
Yeah.
And because there was all rumors a long time ago that there was going to involve time travel because they saw like pictures of the actors back in their costumes from Avengers.
Right.
So I was like, okay, there's probably going to be some time shenanigans. There's going to be a fight. I think Cap is going to fucking grab Mjolnir.
What I loved was Thor's reaction.
Yes, that he wasn't shitty.
Right.
That
he was
like, happy.
I knew it! And he was excited about it.
And
versus
especially
being jealous and pretentious and like arrogant, like how dare you?
And his growth as a character for being able to be open like that,
right?
And just for Steve pounding the fucking shit.
Oh, that was glorious!
Oh, it was so good. Oh, and then like the other Steve scene that really got me was with his shield like shattered, and like Thanos is talking shit. The only thing he does is just stand up, pull it tight, and is just like, "All right, well, I'm gonna fuck it." Like That felt like such a quintessential, like, Steve moment of just,
right.
like, one act of defiance. And then, of course, on your left.
Which, yeah. Now.
He's like, Avengers, froop.
Avengers, assemble.
Yeah. Tony's last line was a reshoot.
Ah, yeah, I heard about
Tony's
this, yeah.
last line of, I am Iron Man, was an actual reshoot. And it was because they had already shot and he said nothing originally. And then I think it was like his agent or his manager was having like dinner with the Russo brothers and all of them. And he's like, I think he had said something like, please tell me you say I am Iron Man. You know, like that's your line. And that they all like looked at each other and they're like, nobody will now.
I forgot there was another actor. Like he wasn't going to do it even then, but there was another actor who was nearby.
And was like, you better fucking
Yeah,
do
and
it.
They told him, I was like, are you kidding? That's amazing. And he convinced them to go and fucking and get that. That line, which felt... So, which was like the best way to fucking
And then there was another article that I read, and I'm gonna believe it as the word of God is what I'm gonna do. Was that those Tony's tears in that scene are real? Like he said that he cried in that moment because he really was saying goodbye to a character in that death scene,
and that's why he didn't want to reshoot
it
because
right.
he was like, "Yo, I had to fucking
like,
get in that headspace."
Yeah, and then that was a really bad headspace he didn't want to go back to.
Yeah.
After he had already said goodbye to this character. So, all in all, like I said, nine across the board.
Just thinking back, and that's another thing too. Is a lot of people might complain about the whole movie. But my God, does it have such fucking amazing moments. Like, so many amazing moments.
It was perfect especially for us who have been watching this for 10 years and has been building up for this. It was exactly what I needed. And this could have bombed so bad.
This could have been so bad.
With a 10-year buildup, I don't care how great other movies that they had done had been. This could have bombed really bad, and it didn't.
And we saw the opposite of that.
Yeah.
We saw how you bomb after 10 years.
Which now leads us to Game of Thrones.
Game of Bones.
Game
of Drones.
Game of fucking, I don't even know. Okay, I'm going to be short. I enjoyed the first, like, three episodes thoroughly of the eighth season. Like, thoroughly. I had a mini panic attack. When I thought that I was indeed going to lose Arya, I jumped out of that seat of that. So I was like, I will curse fandoms everywhere for losing another Stark, my favorite Stark. So I thoroughly loved all of that. My biggest qualms with the show was certain things make sense, but they would have been better executed with more time.
Mm-hmm.
And what pisses me off is that they would have had more time if the writers hadn't have been fucking douchebags about it.
Yeah.
And that is a disrespect to the fans, in my opinion.
Depends on the actors, too.
To the actors. Now, I'm not saying that the actors didn't do the best that they could with the script that they were given.
Yeah.
And certain things were still extremely touching, and certain things were... Daenerys going mad made sense. It's been talked about since the beginning. So everybody who was like, I can't believe she did that. No, y'all weren't listening. I don't know what show were you watching.
Did people forget that the Targaryen motto is fire and blood?
Yeah, like, and she said it. Like, I don't understand. Like, that was like my biggest issues with the entire season. Cersei, Jaime, who got the throne? Like, all those things. And I think that who got the throne could have been fixed with more episodes.
With more time.
With way more time, because I can't sit here and say, oh, it was well executed, when you're literally listening to a prisoner who you are about to fucking kill, and it is that character's brilliant idea that everybody's going to all of a sudden go, yeah, you know, right? He's right. This guy who killed his father and who's in jail because he went against his queen. Like, all of these things. I love Tyrion, but he had done really fucked up shit. And... nah, we're just going to listen to him, and we're this guy who does... And then how does he go from, I can be the lord of nothing, to, but you know, we didn't talk about the throne. I could totally be a king. But I it made no fucking sense. Like, all of these buildups, Jaime's beautiful character. Talk about the difference between something like Thor that had this great arc. Jaime had this amazing arc, and they didn't stick the landing. Do I think that he would have gone to still try to be with Cersei? Maybe. I think that they would have done a much better story arc with him had he killed Cersei.
Yes.
To be able to ring the bell and still died with her. You could still show me the addiction and the love that he had for her, but you could also show me that he changed, that a part of him understood that she was evil and that that's not the world that they should live in, and that they should die, very Romeo a la Juliet, but still giving this character a redeeming quality. And Cersei, the baddest bitch of 8 seasons, dies by a brick. This is fucking bullshit. Her death was bullshit.
Yeah.
That was literal crap.
And then to have this fuckhead who, like, I guess he's an all right fighter, but he's not at fucking Jaime level, to be like, I'm the one who killed...
the Kingslayer. I'm sorry. That was a useless scene, because he could have still died with her under the bricks by sacrificing himself and dying with her after he killed. Like none of that. I just wish that whole thing would have been in a totally different order.
And did anybody and then killing Theon in the Battle of Winterfell?
Winterfell.
Instead of having him maybe die killing his uncle, which they had been building that up ever since he jumped off the fucking ship. I mean, he saved his sister, but at the same point, his beef was with his fucking uncle. Like, they forgot the only thing I felt that they nailed was the Clegane's fighting. Because there was no way the Hound was getting out of that fight.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
he was going into that fight to die. Yeah. And it was a brutal, short fight, which is what would happen between those two, and it ultimately ended up with mutual self-destruction. As it should have been.
That was great. Look, here's my problem. I don't... there's memes going everywhere oh, they forgot that they did this. They forgot that they did that. They didn't forget. But when they shortened the season, they had to... They
had no time.
They had...
Shortened two seasons.
Right. We watched... They assumed that we were going to redeem Arya's storyline because she ends up killing the Night King. However... You build up this entire thing about her being able to take the faces of different people. This is a storyline
that
you should be building really big. It should have a reason and a purpose and a catalyst to it. Or else she learned it for nothing except to kill the Frey. Like, that would be pointless. It's the only time she used it.
It works. I mean, the thing is that, unfortunately now in hindsight, you can see with how they were writing that. She's like, oh, she only learned that so that she could get close enough to kill Frey. She only got these skills... in order to kill the Night King. And
right,
that was it.
But that's... and that's.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just you can see the narrative line that
and
they were
so
thinking.
That didn't work. John, I agree, he should kill Daenerys. But that happened in the blink of an eye. You're going from a guy who sacrificed a lot for his queen. I love my queen, my queen, my queen, my queen, my queen, my queen, my queen. And 1 5-minute conversation with Tyrion makes him go, yeah, I should kill her. Like, that doesn't... Could he have reached that? Yes, of course, with time. So again, all of these things that really, the execution was so poor that it leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. Because you're like, this could have gone so much better if you would have just given the fandom, the actors, and this tale its due diligence. And
yeah.
I would have been fine with Bran. I would have been fine with everything that happened with the proper writing and moving
because
forward.
Because everybody either seems like a psychic or seems really fucking stupid.
Yeah, that's
they
the thing.
They wrote John and Tyrion. Tyrion, one of the most brilliant fucking people.
He's completely an idiot.
He's a
idiot.
Fucking moron in this last season.
Yep.
John's been a fucking moron for a while now.
Yeah, like
it's like, and the problem is that, like, again, like you said, you could see the path, but the problem is that they didn't do a good job actually, you know, like building the fucking path.
Yeah, like no, like they paved the road and then they dropped you off at the cliff, and I was like, oh wait, hey.
There's a part of me that gets joy out of what, and unfortunately, feel bad for the actors and actresses, where the joy of seeing them being miserable, talking about they have video. I know they have picture. I think it was video also of them reading the last episode.
Yes,
and
they're
the look.
Crying.
Well, and the look on John's face,
yeah,
is her crying, and then Amelia Clark again just laughing at what the fuck, like
yeah. Well, and then here's the thing: HBO, as brilliant as they tried to be, then did the smart thing, because I do feel bad for the crew because they were put under a lot of pressure to film this. Right, definitely not.
I would say not even the director's fault.
So they did a documentary on the Sunday that the Game of Thrones was like the Sunday after, and you're watching the cast and you're watching the crew and what the cast is going through, and it was a brilliant, great way of going, oh, look how much they did, and we got the best that we could. I see what HBO is doing, like a peep your PR game that you're doing right now.
Damage control.
Again, it wasn't. I'll say this: it wasn't a Dexter season finale, which is horrible. Or How I Met Your Mother, or Sopranos. I was entertained. It was okay. It was okay. And I think that a show with the kind of following and potential should have had an ending that was better than just okay. And that's my problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Mediocrity is not an excuse when you've been
go
as good.
Go, Unleash It, Kenny. You've been waiting.
Do it.
I know. Sorry. I wanted you guys to talk. I didn't want to blurt anything out.
No, go, bro.
To be quite like I'll just say it like this. I'm going to start by saying I like the Lost series.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You like Lost too,
Lost.
Right?
It's one of my favorite TV shows.
And I want to go ahead, and the reason why I bring up Lost is because obviously the series finale left a lot to be desired.
Okay.
Right?
We'll get back to Lost. Yeah.
Right? And the reason why I didn't mind it so much when I watched Lost and I watched the series finale, it had its points. But really, it was, and we've talked about this before, character development.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I agree with you both wholeheartedly that when it came to certain people's development, their character development, they completely trashed it. And again, whether it's due to time constraint, whether it's due to the fact that they shortened seasons, you can put whatever excuses you want on it. At the end of the day, that's what they did.
Yeah.
Right. They went ahead and they moved certain things around to forget what they did in previous seasons to only end the series when they needed to end it. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I get all that. As a whole, this was still a great series for me.
Yeah. Okay? No, you can't. A bad final season cannot fuck up six amazing. I like season six a lot.
Yeah.
Six amazing, a good, and an okay.
And I say that, and the reason why I bring up Lost is because that's how I felt about Lost, too.
Well, Lost is different because Lost is about... Okay, so I have this... Maybe, I don't know if it's a theory, but, like, for me, shows typically are either about the story or about the characters. You have to have characters, and you have to have story, right? But most shows will focus on one or the other. For instance, a character show is Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad has a very simple story, but has really fucking awesome, well-thought-out characters. Lord of the Rings has a great fucking story, has relatively simple characters in terms of, like, you know, like, they're not as nuanced. Some of them are nuanced, but most of them are not. Lost is a show that wanted to be both, but ultimately ended up giving up the story to focus on its characters,
right,
which is better for me because the character's way more interesting than whatever bullshit Damon Lindelof was coming up in the beginning. And the reason why, like, I still love Lost is that ultimately, even though the story petered out.
Mm-hmm.
Those
the characters, yeah,
all
with
almost
Locke, with Shepard, yeah.
Most of these characters got a finale that was now. Not all of them did, but most of them got it. So, and Game of Thrones, for most of its run, was both a fucking great story and had great characters. So it's extra disappointing
when all of a sudden one faltered.
When one falters really hard and the other one gets weird.
It affected some of them.
It affected, yeah.
And I get that. And that's why I know. That's why I brought up. It's the only reason why I brought up Lost, because that's the only I can compare it to.
Yeah.
Okay. But for instance, I'll bring up one. My favorite character out of the whole entire show was Davos Seaworth. Okay. Also known as the Onion Knight. His character development was completed. In my eyes, he literally went above and beyond. He went from a person who literally came from Fleabottom, who was low of the low, was even illiterate, to at one point becoming master of ships and then correcting somebody on their grammar, mind you. And that was one of his last lines. Okay, you also have Brianna Tarth. You also have the original group of people, the family that you're supposed to care about, the Starks. Granted. They fucked over Jaime. I get that completely. They fucked over Tyrion and his character. I get that. Okay. I also get Cersei. This story was about Starks.
I would say that they are the driving action behind.
Which would make it that they fucked up Jon's story for me.
Oh, yeah.
And they half fucked up Arya's. Sansa's the only one for me.
That they didn't fuck up on.
They did not fuck up.
Yeah. I'm actually like it that she did not get the throne and she's queen of the North. And even though it doesn't make any sense why they would allow the fucking North to break off. But
well, the reason why is because originally back when the first men came, when this was built out, the actual kingdoms were divided that way. It wasn't until Stark, which is Stark ancestry, actually bended the knee to a Targaryen, where they said we'll be loyal to you in perpetuity, okay? But by then they were still separated from the other kingdoms, okay? Which makes sense, like from book lore, why they would go that route,
right?
Okay, I get with Arya they should have done more with the fact that she was a faceless warrior. I get that completely, but in general, it was her breaking out from being I want to be more than just a girl having to get married to somebody. Now I'm actually an explorer with my own ship doing what I want to fucking do.
That's great. No, I like that.
Right. With Sansa, obviously we all come in agreement with that. With Jon
got what he wanted.
Jon got what he wanted at the end, and again, the way that they went about it, they pretty much went through the lines in a fucking maze to just get him there and just say, no, you're here.
Yeah.
I get that.
He pet the fucking doggo.
Yeah. I
finally pet the dog.
Yeah.
But it makes no fucking sense to make this huge drawing out of him being a Targaryen for this entire time and Varys sending little birds and Sansa doing this behind his back thing about him being a Targaryen and all of that other shit for them to literally be like, it matters not. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I remember the line of you play the Game of Thrones and you win
or you die.
And John never felt like somebody who would be somebody to win that game. And he almost lost.
And
the nicest thing that could happen is him getting banished.
And the thing is that in the interaction that he had with Danny, yes, I understand that 5 minutes, right? I get that. This is how I take it. And this is just me. He was going about it. This is my queen. I'm going to follow everything she says. He listens to Tyrion. And he says, you know what, Tyrion, whatever the fuck you said, I'm still doing what I need to do. During that freaking 5 minute conversation with her, that's where he made the decision where he goes, no, she is indeed a tyrant.
She's a mad queen.
She's a mad queen. I cannot believe, like, he was going, like, that, the interaction that he had with his face while she was talking. And all those different things made sense why she had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I wish they would have. I agree with you that they should have drawn that out a few more episodes where they've given her more time to lead up to that point. But you know what? We knew it was the last episode. I knew someone had to die. And it was going to be either one of them or both.
Yeah. Like, in my mind, I'm trying to think of alternate ways you can do this to actually have everything still end up the way it did, but have it
in
have
six
it go
episodes.
Better.
I can tell you a few things. Cut out fucking Jaime fucking Brienne for no reason. He could have knighted her and just gone to fucking sleep and left to go see his sister. Like, yeah. Cut that fucking scene. Make the scene of the... Cut the fucking half of the first episode. Cut it in half.
Yeah.
Cut it fucking in half. We had... we had a longer war. Like, the wars went really fast and at the same time really short. That entire tension scene of the fire and everybody waiting with that... Oh my God, we're going to fight the Night King. We're going to fight the Night King. Cut that in half. Because if we're going to end it in one episode, why spend 45 minutes with tension? Yeah. If we know we're getting to the death. As much as I loved the scene, because I love the scene of Arya running through the town while the fire is having like destruction and all that, but cut it in half. There's no need for me to, for 3 minutes, to watch her looking at a white horse, which she's not even riding in the fucking end of the episode. She just shows up to the end. There's no more white. It did this slow pan of this beautiful white horse that she's about to ride, that everybody called it her Uber, that Bran had sent her an Uber.
A horse Uber.
And then you don't, like, she doesn't even ride in on it. Like, it was just like literally pointless.
He sent an Uber and she came in on a Lyft.
The fight with Euron and Jaime. Pointless. Let him die in the fucking water. We don't give a fuck about him. Let Jaime die underneath the rocks with his fucking...
So how does this sound to you? What instead you have is Cersei refusing to give up like she was. Instead being like, all right, I'm going to blow up this fucking town, right? Jaime is already caught up to her and he turns because he's like, no, I love her. She says that and that's when he realizes, oh shit, I have to kill her. While that's going on, you still have the same thing with Daenerys
and Jon.
I'm trying to remember which of the dragons gets it. Aegon, right? Yeah, Aegon gets killed by Euron.
Yeah.
Instead of her winning and then getting mad, that's the thing that makes her. Because she gets caught up, she gets like super angry and passionate. She wipes out the fleet, kills him there. And it starts destroying the town. And so Jaime kills his sister. The tragedy is that even though he stopped the Mad Queen, another Mad Queen replaces it. They both still get crushed. The ending is still the same, but now it makes more sense. She flipped the fuck out. She killed everybody. Cersei went Mad Queen. He killed his sister. You even get the tragedy even more of like, oh, I wasn't even able to stop the Mad Queen.
Right.
They both fucking die. You still have the fucking irony, and things make more fucking sense.
Yeah, I just think that, again, I just think that with time, this would have been flushed out much better.
Fuck yeah. I wish there was more time. That for sure.
And what makes me mad is that they could have done it with more time. They themselves decided that this isn't what they wanted to do anymore. And now they're going to go off and write Star Wars. Like you see what I'm saying? Like, that's why it left such a bitter taste in my mouth. Not that I dislike the show or, you know, like, I still thoroughly enjoyed the show. But for me, as an artist, as a person who loves entertainment and I love character arcs, I will watch an entire show for a character arc. I have tried to watch shows that I didn't even like because somebody told me somebody's character arc in that was good. I had this argument with somebody like, oh, but you can revert back. I said, yes, one of my favorite books is A Clockwork Orange, where he reverts back to the exact same person that he was.
That's a character thing.
It's a character thing. But there was a moment, there was an event that happens that triggers that innate habit that you put to sleep that doesn't happen with Jaime.
Have you ever seen Young Adult?
No.
I just recently watched it with my girlfriend. And the whole thing is, it's about a character who's fucked up and is a fucking asshole. She has her come to light moment, and at the biggest precipice, somebody gives her really bad advice, and the bad advice tilts her back into being a fucking asshole because that's the kind of character that she is. You can have characters that fuck up like that,
right? But there was no big event except him hearing that maybe his sister might die. Like, that's not a bit, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's not the kind of thing that makes you go, I must become like this. Like, no, like, you don't leave the bitch you just fucked out in the middle of the street in a coat. Like, that's not, like, that's not the catalyst for me.
I mean, it's weird because it's like he does have more respect for Brienne than that.
Yes.
Throughout the whole time. Like,
he does, but the thing is that every person that he has respect for, he still treats, like, if you want, he still fucks them over. Like, in every
Except
season.
Tyrion.
In every season, the only, again, the
I'm
only
trying
person.
To think, I'm trying to think
of and that. The only person is Tyrion, and the reason, and again, that's why Tyrion has that, in my opinion.
A soft
that's
spot.
Why Tyrion has that speech with him at the end, because they're trying to tell you that, throughout this, and in fact, they show it throughout the whole series, that no matter what shit killing the dad, killing their father, fucking over Cersei time and time again, possibly have killing Joffrey, his own son, right? He still cared. At the end of the day, he still cared for family. More so Tyrion because that's his brother, and more so Cersei because that's his lover.
Again, all of this could have just been written better. And it's the fact that it's the writer from Wolverine Origins that
was the third writer. That was the third writer.
If I had heard about that before, that would have tempered my expectations so much more.
Again, and I will close out all opinions because we could talk about this through and through. But with me, it's this show was so good, it deserved better than an okay and an ending. And that's the best way that I could put it. Like, the show is that good that it deserved more of an ending or a coming to a closure than D&D decided to do. And that's where my bitterness goes to. It's not the actors. It's not anything like that. It's you guys fucked up. You didn't do what you could have done. And I do know that a lot of it is because of how expensive it is to do that kind of a show with the level of detail that they put into this world that they've built.
They were going to get that money.
Yes, of course.
But I thought it was also Brexit that also caused the issue.
It was an excuse.
An excuse.
They didn't want to do it.
They just didn't want to do it.
Yeah. They didn't want to do it. And that, I was fine when it was Brexit. When I thought it was the Brexit thing, I was like, man, you have no choice. Like, you literally just have to do what the fuck you could do. Then I started to read all the articles that it was like, it has nothing to do with that. Like, nothing to do with that.
Sucker, you watched it already, so now I'll find out.
Yeah, so, and that's what really, really upset me about it and allowed me the arrogance to nitpick a series, I guess is the best way to say it, is because you gave it a disservice, well, then I, too, will now nitpick what you did.
You don't give a fuck. I care more about this. Excellent.
Let me tell you why.
Let me tell you why you suck.
So that was pretty much it. Bear, this is your last TTG episode unless you come in as a guest.
I'll gladly come back as a guest, of course. If I'm in town, you know, I will swing by and
we'll try to record you on Skype too.
Yeah, no, if I go to some cool shit, I'll let you guys know. I'll hop on Skype and you'll definitely hear me. I mean, I'm gonna be living in the middle of Manhattan, so if I can get a ticket to
New York
Comic Con, which has been increasingly getting harder and harder to get into.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be able just to hop on a subway and go in so I can give you guys reports.
That would be awesome. But yes, technically this is your last...
My last regular.
Last regular episode. Yeah. This is the longest goodbye I've ever given a friend.
Yeah. No, I keep getting... It's like, it'll be my last show, then my going away party, then two podcast goodbyes.
Yeah, two podcast goodbyes. It's just been like stacking. It's like this really like... This inevitable moment that I didn't want to come, and now it's come in waves. So
maybe you'll be maybe it won't be as bad. Hopefully, maybe no.
Doubtful.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's
doubtful. It's just that I get to mourn it in sections. I guess is the best way, and it's all adding up to the finale. Like that's like the thing.
Yeah,
you know.
It's gonna be rough. I mean, I've never moved out. I've lived in Miami my whole life, but you know, I'm going to a place I want to go to. I'm going there. I have family there. I have friends. So like, I'm not going alone. It's
right.
You know, I'm looking for. I'm gonna miss the fuck out of everybody. I'm gonna miss the fuck out of you guys. I'm gonna miss the fuck out of recording and shooting with you guys. But you know, I have to. You know, I gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. Oh no, I'm super super. Happy for you.
Yeah, man,
I just expected
really
it
happy for
2
you.
Years from now. So it was such a shocker. Like it was like, oh, by the way, I'm doing this next in 6 months. I was like, wait. No. I wasn't ready.
What ultimately ended up happening too was my opportunity was closing to be able to get the apartment that I'm going to be staying in. So this literally happened at the best moment.
Right. No, yeah. And so you got to jump at that. You know, listen. I have said this multiple times on this podcast, on every podcast, on stage, off stage. You talk to me. I've probably said it 3 times. I would leave this city in a fucking heartbeat. So I do not blame you for that in the least bit. Denver, I keep seeing you. I keep looking at you. You keep
looking
popping
at
up
you,
on
Denver.
My feed. You keep doing really crazy shit. You're fucking passing psychedelic mushrooms and marijuana.
Like,
and you're,
wait a minute,
you're making schools only 4 days out of the week.
You want me
like,
to be
like
here.
Things, yeah, it's like...
Schools 4 days out of the week.
There's a city and there's a district in Denver that
it
actually
is experimenting with.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And some that it works.
Make the days longer and then just
and actually we're also experimenting with a later start time in the morning to give kids more sleep.
Oh my god, that'd be so fucking great! Yes. Oh man.
Or what? 4-day work weeks? Like you have 10-hour shifts?
I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
I'd be
yeah.
fine with four 10-hour shifts. Give that to me. I'll take that.
We already do that, except sometimes we do it 5 days out of the week. Like, yeah. When you really think about how long some of us work sometimes, especially anybody who owns their own business, oh, you're already working 10
I mean, if you own hours. If you're on your own business, you are working 24/7.
Yeah.
Whether or not you
yeah.
know it.
So but I'm very happy for you. I wish you nothing but the best, as sad as it is. And yeah. So for the last time, tell people where they can follow you and your New York antics now.
My New York antics. Oh, I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at Pedro Cortez Get. That's Cortez with an S. On Instagram at Girl Magan, like the robot anime. And I'll give my YouTube. No, I haven't really posted a Pedro G. Cortez. I'm going to try to work on getting some more stuff up on there just for project sake, you know? I want to create something. I already got a bunch of stuff I got recorded, so one way or the other, I got to find some use for it. Otherwise, hours and hours of work
was
that I did
pointless.
Was fucking pointless.
Got it. Kenny, where can everybody follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram. I'm doing this one time for you, Pedro. It's Mr____ on Twitter or Instagram.
Delicious.
I have changed my Instagram name again.
Oh, shit.
And it
we'll
is
We'll never
now,
find you.
You will never find me.
Always moving. Always
yeah.
moving.
It is now iron_quills.
It's a good name.
Oh, there's an underscore. I like that.
Kenny's like, I dig that.
Yeah. I dig that.
All right. And literally, it pained me to put the underscore, but iron Q, iron quills, iron. I tried it every which way possible.
I'm surprised to the dark side. Even got iron_quills.
Me too.
I don't expect the two underscores at least.
I was able to nab it and I was extremely excited. So you can follow me there. I'm Q the mic on Twitter, but I'm never ever on Twitter ever.
Your version of Twitter always makes me laugh. So I'm like, that's so simple. Like, yeah. What do you not get about it?
I don't get
it. Status updates.
I don't get it. I know, but it's
you
like
do status updates all the time.
I know, but it's too rapid. It's too many things.
It's too rapid.
My anxiety starts to peak. Like I'm missing things. I don't know who I'm following. It starts giving me notifications about shit I don't give a fuck about. Like Twitter just needs to get off my phone, but I can't because of business. But you can follow the Talking Geek at the Talking Geek on Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook. And until next time. Make sure you also give a like and check out all the podcasts on the Geek Bro Net. You can check them out at geekbro.net. Until next time, everybody. Stay geeky.